This week on the Snap UK podcast, are the Rams' playoff hopes all but done? Have the Ravens become Super Bowl favourites? And can we try not to talk about the Bears winning despite the fact that they were terrible? Let's do this.
Hello and welcome to the Snap UK podcast, your weekly review of all things NFL by those in the know on this side of the pond. I am not Johnny Thrash, I am Griff, and this week I'm taking the reins and hoping to corral the Farrow brothers, as it's just the three of us. Some top coughing in the background to get us started. Thank you, Paul. I assume the other two fellas are on a bye week, like most of my fantasy team. It was a thriller of a week in the NFL, especially if you're a fan of upset victories and terrible kicking. So let's dive straight into the biggest upset win, according to Vegas. The Atlanta Falcons travelling to the Superdome and nailing the Saints 26-9. Guys, where do you want to start with this one? Because I did not see this coming.
The Falcons D finally turned up. So how many sacks did the Falcons D have prior to this game all season?
Seven.
Six in this game. Unreal.
And was it not the most number of sacks taken by Drew Brees in a game ever?
In a game, yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Do you know, he's been a lot less mobile this year. And look, I've written on here, is Brees better than Teddy? Yes, Drew Brees is a much, much better quarterback than Teddy Bridgewater. What I'm getting at is, did the Saints not look equally as effective? There wasn't actually any drop-off between Drew Brees and Teddy Bridgewater. Because Drew Brees can't throw the ball down the field anymore, a bit like Brady can't throw the ball down the field anymore. Because they're both in their 40s, and it's not in their arsenal anymore.
But they're not expected to.
No, but it does limit what their teams can do offensively, do you not think?
Well, I think it depends on, it's the quality of the players around them, isn't it? So you don't necessarily need to throw long bombs when you've got kind of the Michael Thomases of the world who can just, and Kamaras who can just yards after catch everything.
Kamara was very quiet as well, though, you know.
Bottled up.
Yeah. And I saw a great Thomas reception, but that was from a Taysom Hill cat throw.
Yes, and Taysom Hill is the only one of the quarterbacks on this roster who can throw the ball down the field.
Yeah, and, you know, it at least gives them some variety. So if you do want to have, you know, you want to throw long bombs, you've got Taysom Hill, you've got Teddy there, you know, if needs be, to mix it up. But
I just feel the Saints go through this process every time where, do you know, they might do this. I know they suck.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, Kamara actually has not been massively impressive this season.
No, not... No.
I know he's been hampered with one or two injuries, but this season, one touchdown? One rushing touchdown? That's...
Not great,
that's,
is it?
That's not a great return. 373 yards. Look, they're struggling a little bit. And I know Murray has played well.
Murray's played phenomenally well,
and he's needed to. But definitely, the offensive side of the ball is less cohesive than I expected it to be at this point in the season. Do you know? I think they've had three games this season where they haven't scored a touchdown. The Saints.
Yeah, do you know how many they've had?
Was it three since 2006?
They've had two since 2006,
yeah, and then three this season.
Three this season,
and this is a concern. And I go back again. I know Brees was missing for a few games, but there was no drop off in play between Brees and Bridgewater, so it's got to be a bit of a concern. We talk quite a lot about the Super Bowl window, and this is the Saints reaching the end of this Super Bowl window.
Yeah,
the run is probably this year and maybe next year. And at the moment, they're not one of the best two or three teams because you can see how to pick them apart. And if a defence as bad as the Falcons' defence can stop them...
I don't see the Falcons as a bad defence.
They have been a bad defence.
Oh, they have been a bad defence. But in terms of, on paper, this should be a good defence. This Falcons team, on paper, should be competitive.
Yeah, but they haven't been.
Yeah, there's a reason why Dan Quinn's job is on the line, and it looks like now we've come through the bye week that they're going to stick with him till the end of the season. They're now, what, 2-7?
Yeah.
So he will probably stay there. They'll probably get four or five wins. I still think he's going to go. But this is a team in reverse, and the defence had been poor all season. So how did they key in and get this right? I couldn't tell, but to, like you say, to hit to sack, sorry, Drew Brees six times is phenomenally impressive.
Because it's probably one of the leading offensive lines in the league.
Top five or six.
Yeah.
Also, don't forget, they lost Devonta Freeman at halftime.
Yeah.
To injury.
Yeah, but that's no real loss based on this
no,
season.
No, but
he was playing okay.
He was playing good.
But who the hell is Brian Hill?
Well, Ito Smith is, you know...
Ito Smith already on IR from the week before. Brian Hill came in. He's had a total of 28 attempts this season for 101 yards. But actually, he did all right in this game. He was just helping them run down the clock and just chewing up the odd few yards when he needed to, but I'd never heard of the guy. And I mean, I don't know what the Freeman situation is. I don't know whether
he's out for 2 weeks.
So for fantasy purposes, you might want to go and find Brian Hill because they don't have any other running backs, I don't think. So it seems that might be a logical sort of conclusion to draw, is that you need to pick up Brian Hill, because Matt Ryan, like all other good quarterbacks, needs a running back. And part of the reason they've struggled so badly is because Freeman's been ineffective. They let Telvin Smith go, which was a massive error. And Ito Smith is only good as a fill-in player.
Coleman,
like he was last
not Telvin Smith.
Sorry, Telvin Coleman, absolutely. You're looking at me like I'm an idiot. That's because I was being an idiot. But yeah, of Brian Hill's 28 attempts on the season, 20 of them came in this game for 61 yards, an average of 3.1. It's nothing outstanding. But he is going to have to shoulder this workload unless they're going to sign somebody else.
But that was very kind of Belichick-like, wasn't it? He came in to do a job and he did the job.
Yes, absolutely.
Run down the clock, stop the Saints from playing. Thanks, Brian. Good work.
And why not, if that's what you're paid to do? We ought to give some airtime to Austin Hooper, who has been the number one fantasy tight end this season, I think.
Probably, yeah.
Or it's certainly top two or three, depending on how your game is scored with the point per reception, etc. But he sort of flies under the radar because the team isn't winning. But he's got 52 receptions, the best part of 600 yards, and he's averaging 11.5 yards a catch and 5 touchdowns. Completely unheralded. I don't recall saying his name this season at all.
No. I don't think I've mentioned... Well, because I think because the team's rubbish, we've circled... Every time it's circled on the fact that Ryan's giving the ball away more, Freeman isn't making yards, the defence has barely been there. You forget that, you know, Hooper is...
Yeah, well, he's had a touchdown in each of the last four games.
Yeah.
And we quite often are concerned that Julio doesn't score enough touchdowns, but if he's gaining you the yards and then you've got this monster who's just getting into the end zone, it's a good building block for when the team have to restart, which at the end of this season they will have to do, because this team is treading water and should never ever be beating the Saints. This is a problem for the Saints because it's going to drop them out of the automatic buys in the postseason. They are now going to be behind Green Bay, who we will get to, and obviously the Niners and the Seahawks and people like that are all going to be up there. They cannot afford many more slip-ups towards the end of the season. I haven't got their fixture list up if somebody wants to get that. I don't know what their next few games are. But bearing in mind, the Panthers, I think they've got to play... Falcons got to play the Panthers twice, I believe. If those two teams take a win off each other and they start to catch the Saints and put them under a little bit of pressure, which they haven't been in this division, then, you know, and the Bucks are not... awful. This division should be over, and it's not.
The next three games are all divisional.
Buccaneers, Panthers, Falcons. Yeah, so I would say the Saints probably need to win two of those to re-establish themselves as a bye candidate.
Yeah.
And I think we know the byes have a massive influence on who progresses in the postseason, and I really think the Saints need to be playing at home.
What's the games after the divisional ones?
The 49ers.
Nice.
The Colts. Teutons and the Panthers.
Yeah.
They could...
They could win all of those.
They could lose all of them.
And they could lose all of them. Because they're not historically brilliant against the Bucks. The Colts and the Titans are two teams that turn up when they want to.
Yeah. Well, if the Colts have beset back, they become viable again, don't they?
It would appear so.
So
no, we're positive about Hoyer on this podcast now.
Well, we'll get to that. Shortly. Yeah. I'm not sure about positive, but we can try.
We're pro bad quarterback.
But if you struggled against a garbage defense that the Falcons have been all season, what is going to happen when you can come up against Darius Leonard and
Hooker?
You know. The Tetons' defense is still not bad. You know, if they struggle again, I do worry.
Also, the Tetons' defense sans Malcolm Butler, which I missed completely. Yeah. He broke his wrist last week and is on IR. I don't know where that went, but I didn't take that information.
They're playing the Panthers twice, and you think about it, they're still Luke Kuechly. There's some great players that they still could come across.
Panthers' defense is excellent. So it's got to be a concern.
If Brian Hill and Devontae Freeman were making yards against the Saints defense, what's going to happen when they come up against McCaffrey?
That's a fair point. I mean, look, Sean Payton, several times in the last 3 years, we have said, well, Sean Payton could be in trouble here, and then he turns it around and they are brilliant. But it's just starting to build up, and it's quite often been the defense that's the issue. And now it's the offense that I think is a little bit coming to the end of its lifespan. It's just not as productive as it should be with the sum of its parts. Michael Thomas is putting up hundreds of yards, but
quickest man to 400 receptions, wasn't he, this weekend?
Yeah, it was insane. But he seems to be the only fully functioning member of the offense. And I still think they need someone to draw coverage away from him. Imagine if they had a really excellent number two, not a Ted Ginn, but somebody in the next level, a Jarvis Landry.
Calvin Ridley.
A Calvin Ridley, who draws coverage away from Michael Thomas. Then I think that would help out. But I still think main problem is the same thing the Patriots offense is dealing with. You cannot use the full length of the field because the quarterbacks who are playing longer and longer, the arm isn't keeping up with the brain anymore. Hmm. How would you cope if your arm didn't keep up with your brain?
I'd probably just get somebody else to do it for me.
So,
he's on about driving.
Yeah, of course. Elsewhere in the NFC South, Jameis Winston outdueled Kyler Murray as the Bucks beat the Cardinals.
Cracking game, that.
It was brilliant. Great 27 game. To 30. And it went right down to the wire. First thing to note here is Jameis is playing okay. And I think we said last week, chances are they're going to give him another deal. And it concerns me because this is what the Tetons did with Mariota. And it's what the Jags did with Blake Bortles. He played okay in half a dozen games in the year they got to the championship game. They gave him a deal and then realised they'd put the bed.
Yeah.
And do not be lured into signing him on the basis that Bruce Arians has had three or four good games out of him this season.
Do they do what the Jags did with Bortles and they basically tie up all the contracts in the first year? So basically it's like, well, if we realise we have pooped the bed here, we can just bin him.
There's nothing worse than realising much too late that you've pooped the bed.
Exactly. And, you know, Arians is an old guy. He's more likely to poop the bed.
It's going to be like the scene out of Trainspotting.
I feel at the end of this season he's out of Raymond James Stadium in an Uber.
we'll warn the Uber drivers then. I don't know. Winston is... He's not elite, but I think he's doing enough. And I think
they're 3-6.
Yeah, he's looking. They're 3-6, but they lost one game due to their kicker. They got done the week that the return was whistled dead, and it shouldn't have been. And there was a third game as well that they lost on something ridiculous, some controversial call for the other team.
But there's also, another game he threw five interceptions. Another game he threw four interceptions.
This is the thing. How are you going to judge this? I personally think they must move on. But I don't know who they move on to.
No.
They haven't done what some teams have done and brought in the second string quarterback to see what they've got. Ryan Griffin has never played.
Yeah, but Ryan Griffin's not the answer.
No, he may not be, but you still have to see what you've got.
Look how well that's worked for the Bengals this week.
Well, but at least they know. This is the thing. All the Bucks are doing is reinforcing the idea that they should keep Jameis.
That's madness in coaching. I know Ryan Finley's crap. So let's bring him in. Oh, Ryan Finley's crap.
Great work.
Well done, Zach. You've shown the guy who's terrible is terrible. Well done.
But that's here's the worry for the Bucks is you get rid of Winston this year, and you end up thinking, well, who's available? And you look at it and you think, oh, Bortles, Mariota. And then you're just getting the same thing. Is it better the devil you know?
But you take your chances. There could be some players out there. If he's not the answer and he's not the person to take your team forward, move on.
Cam Newton with Bruce Arians would be phenomenal.
Well, as entertainment,
it would be brilliant. Can you imagine the two of them? That Arians wears some ridiculous things as well. He wears one of those little pork pie hats from time to time. Two of them doing a post game press conference would be amazing.
Yeah, he was
looking. Books have got some cap space as well, so they could.
I'm just saying.
But this is the type of thing where if Cam ends up back in Carolina, Carl Allen's showed himself to be decent, young, productive.
It's true.
We won't get rid of him.
Christian Kirk, is he getting enough love? Because Larry Fitzgerald, everyone says Larry Fitzgerald, brilliant player. He is a lifelong Cardinals player. He is the number one receiver in the building. Christian Kirk, for the season,
22.
Yeah, 22 years old, 40 receptions, 467 yards with a new quarterback, by the way, 3 touchdowns and an average of 11.7 yards per catch. I think Christian Kirk has been amazing this year.
I think he's been brilliant. He looked.
He was the only shining star in Rosen's shit show last year.
Yeah,
exactly. I just think this could be the new Larry Fitzgerald. Fitz is going to retire this year or next year. It's nailed on. Yeah. He nearly retired each of the last two seasons. Christian Kirk is going to give him a smooth transition into having another excellent wide receiver.
He's number two in receiving yards now, isn't he? He ain't going to beat Jerry.
No, he's not going to be. Yeah, he's definitely not going to beat Jerry.
He could play for the next 20 years, maybe. And
at the current pace he's going, I think that would be a long haul. I did like in this game that we got a fake punt.
Yes, always
brilliant.
And a flea flicker on a fake punt, wasn't it?
It was a flea flicker on a fake punt, and then the punter threw the pass, and they picked up the first down.
Beautiful pass.
Amazing. I can't get enough of those. I forget the name of the punter. Is it Andy Lee?
Yeah, he's the punter of the Cardinals.
Probably the least athletic punter in the league as well. So you know he's not going to run it. He had to pass the ball, and he did a good job. So we were talking about Cam. We'll move into the Panthers while we're here, talking about the NFC South. So they lost 16-24 at Lambeau to the ultimate game manager, who had 233 yards and 0 touchdowns, because he's a game manager.
He's not. He's elite.
Will somebody who's elite have 0 touchdowns, John?
For the second time this season.
That's still one less than Drew Brees.
One less than the Saints combined. But the same number as Tom Brady, I believe.
Yeah.
And both of them sliding out of the elite category.
That seems very game manager to me, John.
The big news here is that Cam is on IR now. They have made the choice after we podcast last week to either save him or make him tradable. And I think it's option B.
Yeah.
It's like I've been saying for most of the season, Kyle Allen is the future. You've had, 7, 8 years of Cam? You've had the best years of Cam, and you didn't win. And now you have to reload and go again. There's nothing wrong with that. It's difficult. Franchises find it hard to do. But it's a bit like when the Colts decided, okay, Manning's had surgery. What do we do? Do we roll with it next season, or do we take the best quarterback we've seen in college for 10 years? And they rolled with it, and, okay, they didn't win another Super Bowl. They got unlucky, but they won a lot of games.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot for a franchise to move on, and I think the Panthers have to. Somebody is going to get an excellent quarterback with a fully rested and recovered Cam Newton for next season. I wonder what he would be worth. What do you guys think they're going to have to give up to get him?
I don't know, because he's had 2 years of injury now, which is going to drop the value.
Uh-huh. But he's still Cam Newton.
He's still Cam Newton.
And you would suspect that they are not going to settle for anything less than a first and something. And yeah. It strikes me as a lot of capital, though. That's the problem.
It's a lot of capital, but there were some
teams. Bear in mind he's 30.
There were some teams there, but desperate. And we could see them testing, But the Bears have no cap space. But if they can do some juggling around, you know, what would you give to have Cam, you know, rather than Mitch Trubisky?
I would give all the first round picks.
But then you're going to end up in the same place. You've got to have a, you're going to have a, his son's called Chosen.
Yes, I know. I just saw that. I was going to ask you, do you know what his son is called? Chosen Sebastian Newton.
Chosen Newton.
Better than Fig.
Well,
that's what they call him. For me, he's someone who, he's only 30, but his game isn't designed on longevity. He's not going to be doing his style of game at 40.
Whoever takes him on next is getting a 3-year deal, and then he probably will retire because I think he will have had enough. The body will be worn out.
So you could either end up in a situation where you're Oakland getting Rich Gannon.
Yeah, and that worked.
Or you could end up with the Jags getting Nick Foles.
Which probably isn't going to work. Yeah, it's difficult. If Cam had won the Super Bowl 3 years ago, this deal probably isn't happening.
No.
But they've gone as far as they can. And Kyle Allen led the team down all the way across Lambeau Field for what should have been a game winner. And Christian McCaffrey got stuffed on the goal line. And it was correct. It was the right call. He did not make it in. But Kyle Allen could not have done any more. It was excellent. He against the Packers defense, which we know has been a little bit up and down, but good enough.
But the one thing we have to say with this particular game, being stopped at the line, Gerald McCoy, good.
Oh, man.
God.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Who was it that he stopped? He beat the living daylight.
Jamal Williams.
Out of Jamal Williams.
He speared him out of his shoes.
I actually moved 4 feet back on my sofa. when that hit came in, that was incredible. You forget Gerald McCoy is there and playing well, but it was almost like he just appeared, like the guy in the X-Men that just jumps through portals and appears somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
It was a bit like that. He just sort of appeared and blocked the hell out of him. It was incredible. Are you going to give me something on Kyle Allen, John?
I'm not. I was just looking at Cam Newton's contract.
Go on.
And he's got one more year after this year, and it's only for $18 million, which sounds a lot, but you know that's Dalton money. So you know, but then of course you have to re-sign him. But yeah, I'm just trying to, place Cam Newton at the moment.
You know, somebody once said to us that Aaron Jones wasn't very good.
That was a lie, wasn't it?
It was a lie. You know, he's on pace for 22 touchdowns this season. It's got to be the quietest 22 potential touchdowns that I've ever heard.
How many rushing yards has he got this season? 500.
Yeah.
But he's a threat in the pace as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Not so much in this game. He wasn't amazing, but he is able to catch the ball too. It, definitely, he is second in receptions to Jamal Williams. That seems to be what they're doing with the two running backs. But he's got 8 touchdowns already, and his usage is just going up.
Yeah.
And up and up. And you know, 3 touchdowns in this game. Didn't he have 4 the other week as well?
Yep.
So he does have the quiet weeks in between. There's no doubt about it. But if you've got it basically, if Rodgers is option A and that's not working, and you can turn to Aaron Jones as option B, that's an excellent option B. This team continues to impress me, and Matt LaFleur isn't really putting any foot wrong.
Well, it just seems they've solved the things they needed to solve. You needed a running game because they hadn't had one since Feast Mode. They got one.
Yeah.
You wanted to get into a situation where their defense was effective. Good God, their defense is effective now.
Yeah, and you wanted to get into a situation where it wasn't on Rodgers every game. I would be willing to bet whoever they're playing next is going to come up against Rodgers scoring 3 or 4 touchdowns because he does not like it when the running backs take all the glory and all the touchdowns. So somebody next week is getting a pasting. It seems quite like
the whiskey sellers of Wisconsin.
We had a
next week they're playing the 49ers, so let's not well, that might not happen.
Wow. Well, they
play the Giants the week after, so there's your full touchdown maybe. Game.
What a game. 49ers Packers. Wow. That's again, we're talking about who gets home advantage in the playoffs. That is
it's important. It's really
game.
Important now.
Huge game on Sunday.
God, they've got some stinky games coming up though.
Go on, run me through, and then we'll go back to my huge games on Sunday.
Giants, Redskins, Bears.
So that's 3 wins.
Vikings, Lions.
Four wins at least. Probably 5.
It depends if they're playing the Vikings in prime time.
Well, we will get to that next. So on Sunday, the aforementioned Vikings travelled to Jerry World, which is not a Nazi camp, and beat the Cowboys 28-24, mainly due to some suspect play calling from Garrett and co. Again, look, the story here should be Dalvin Cook, who continues to be the reason why the Vikings are so successful. Kirk Cousins wasn't terrible in a big game, but actually wasn't required to do a great deal. The team got up early and they stayed ahead of the game. And Cook just takes so much pressure off. A bit like Dak with Zeke. You've got Kirk Cousins with Dalvin Cook. It's very much the same sort of flow between the two players. Tavon Austin, at the end of this game, fielded a punt from the Vikings with something like 40 seconds on the clock, fielded a punt and called what John would call a ballerina catch. He fielded a fair catch and didn't try and advance the ball. He had 50 yards of open field in front of him, and it turns out it may have been a miscommunication from the coaching staff, who were trying to say to him, don't bleed the clock by running around, but they didn't mean don't advance the ball. And he took it to mean make the catch and see what happens, go from there. Then what they did was they put the ball in Dak's hand and advanced down the field and then changed tack all of a sudden and tried to run it and didn't make the yards at the end. They couldn't go for a field goal because they were 4 points down. They needed to get a touchdown. They needed the next first down. Dak had got them down the field from the missed opportunity with the Tavon Austin catch. And all of a sudden, they went back to calling runs. They call runs on first and second down every time. I know, Kellen Moore is getting all this credit for redesigning the offense. But this still looks like something Jason Garrett is all over. Because it's such a Cowboys from the last 9 years way of doing things. He has to go. It is holding this team back. This is a really good team. They should have beaten the Vikings. It should have been a Cowboys win. It's not. The Vikings are, 7-2?
Yep.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, the complaints about the Vikings are done. They will probably finish in the wild card spot behind the Packers.
Yeah.
But that's a strong division. Cowboys are now 5-4.
It could be the game against the Vikings could be a shootout for the win.
Absolutely. And your money would be on the Packers.
Yeah.
But
you can't rule out this Vikings team.
No, you can't.
They're not really weak in any position, are they?
But we're talking about a division there with two teams potentially who are championship game, in a position to win the championship game and get to the Super Bowl and then, you know, whatever. Wow. But on the other side of the ball, you've got the Cowboys who are now 5-4 and joint top of their division with the Eagles who are 5-4. And I've said before, I don't trust the Eagles. I don't trust the Cowboys either with this coaching staff. Neither of those teams is going anywhere in the playoffs.
This is a poor Eagles team as well.
And that's the thing. So how can you be 5-4 in a division that's got a poor Eagles team, an absolutely diabolical Redskins team, and your Giants team?
So you're saying there's a chance the Giants could make the playoffs, sir?
No.
Mathematically, yes.
Yes.
If you start anything mathematically, you're ruined.
Out of the two of these teams, the Cowboys and the Vikings, which one is the bigger Super Bowl threat? It's got to be the Vikings.
Vikings.
Right? Vikings are. Because I would say Dak is the better quarterback.
No.
No?
Dak, Dak into any other team.
No. This year, Dak. It's not even this year. The best trade of last year was Cooper coming in.
Yeah, since he's had Amari Cooper, he's been brilliant.
Since Cooper's come in, Dak has he's now able to ask for Russell Wilson money.
Yeah, and he's not leaning on Zeke all the time.
Yeah.
In this game, they were not leaning on Zeke.
No, Zeke is not getting the yards that you had been relying on Zeke to get for the last few years. And
alongside Cooper as well, they signed Randall Cobb. And I think we've sort of forgotten how good Randall Cobb is. He had 106 yards on 6 receptions and a touchdown. And this season in general, he's been excellent.
I mean, would you rather have Cooper and Cobb or Bryant and Beasley?
Cooper and Cobb.
To be fair, any situation where would you rather have Beasley?
Hey, Beasley's doing a job in Buffalo, but You know, Cobb's averaging four receptions a week, and this was his first 100-yard game. I think they will integrate him more and more in. If you can start persuading teams that you're not going to lean on Zeke becomes even more dangerous, yeah, because then you can start feeding him the ball again. I would take Dak over Kirk Cousins. If you swapped these two teams over, the Vikings are equally as successful as they are right now, and a Cousins-led Cowboys team is not top of their division.
So can I just make one point that Cousins wins just purely based on warm-up routine?
Go on.
You've seen the footage of Dak's warm-up routine.
I have not seen the footage of Dak's warm-up routine. You're now going to show it to me. I have not seen this.
I think Dak, if he has a relationship with a player, like he's got with Cooper, he's brilliant. But before with Bryant, we were all like, oh, is this guy going to get paid? Because we were unsure. It's, I think...
It's an interesting jig that he does, isn't it?
It's great, isn't it?
It is quite interesting. I'm not. It looks a little bit like he might have an itch, one of those internal itches that you can't quite reach.
It's the one where he's doing it down the field, and then he's doing some jig down the field, and then you look at Zeke copying him behind and taking the mick.
But I have not seen that, but it's quite cool.
It's hard to judge, but. I'm still suspect on Dak.
Okay.
Yeah.
But why? What more does he have to show you?
Them convincingly winning this division.
Yeah.
Which is not on him. It's on the coaching staff. It's on the coaching staff.
Yeah, but it's him. You think about it, right? You look at all the great teams. They've got quarterbacks who can adapt. They've got quarterbacks who, at the line of scrimmage, can make a decision.
Okay.
Kellen Moore is getting all this props for his offense. What's Dak doing other than just running it?
Okay, let's look at it slightly differently. Who's the best quarterback in this division? Is it Carson Wentz or Dak Prescott? Because it's not Jones or Haskins.
How dare you?
Well, it could be in the future. But I would say at the moment it's Prescott, without a shadow of a doubt. Without a shadow of a doubt. He's outplaying Carson Wentz.
They're both 5-4.
Yes, they are. So what does that tell you? If Dak Prescott on the eye is easily the better quarterback, it must be down to the management.
We said that the Cowboys should have beaten this Vikings team.
Yes, and they should have. Kyle Rudolph. Let's mention him because we're talking about Austin Hooper. Kyle Rudolph, 4 touchdowns over the last 4 games. Quiet start to the season, but you know, re-emerging again in the absence of Adam Thielen, I think.
Yeah.
I suspect he suffered slightly... because he wasn't one of the players that spoke out when Diggs and Thielen said they weren't being targeted enough. And I hope that they will continue to use him because he is a brilliant player.
He's one of his touchdown catches. Undervalued. The one-handed one. Yes. Was
proper juggling one-handed. Oh. It was amazing. I just wanted to give him a mention because, again, it's another player I don't recall talking about this season who would get into half of the teams in the league at this position.
I think we talked about him at the start of the season, just because he was almost like a fantasy bust.
Yeah, absolutely. And now you can start rolling him out again, yeah.
Well, he's a red zone threat now, isn't he?
Yeah, and again, it's reflective of how the team is playing. This is, you know, the Vikings can get up early and start wasting away the clock with Dalvin Cook. That is exactly what Mike Zimmer wants to do. And they're becoming better at it. They're becoming actually functional at it rather than at the start of the season where, I mean, Cousins threw 10 passes in one game, didn't he? And that was it. Yeah,
but they won.
They won. But it's not. You can't do that every week. It's not functional. No. You've got to be able to spread it around.
But yeah, and just Cook's just amazing, isn't he?
Yeah,
the Vikings are the destroyers of the NFC East, aren't they?
Yes, I'm afraid they are. Yes, they beat
most.
They
most beat, teams are though.
Beat the Eagles 38-20. Beat the Redskins 19-9.
Didn't they?
Yes, they did.
They've beaten every NFC East team.
We said, it's not a great division, is it?
No.
I don't recall what the score was against the Giants, but
shows you how good the NFC North is, Jesus.
And it is an excellent division, mostly. There was disappointment in my house on Sunday because Patrick Mahomes was back, which meant no more Matt Moore, and frankly, that might have cost the Chiefs this weekend. I mean, it didn't because Pat Mahomes was actually really good. I mean, who'd have thought that was coming? But the Chiefs' inability to stop the run, the Chiefs' inability to put up any sort of defence against the 188 yards from Derrick Henry, absolutely killed them in this game. And the Chiefs are now 6-4 and only one game ahead of the Raiders in the division.
The Raiders are good. They're growing into the season, aren't they?
The Raiders are good. The Chiefs are going backwards. This is not good. You cannot bring your star quarterback back from an injury which could potentially have cost other people their careers and then not win the game. But that's a major cop.
Any other game, where you, and this is all based on their defence, which showed up the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, okay.
The 2 weeks before, sorry. Mm. So if your quarterback throws 446 yards and 3 touchdowns, you should win the game.
You absolutely should win the game. All things considered, they were playing the Titans, who are now 5-5, by the way, 3-2 at home, but 5-5. Ryan Tannehill, 13 of 19, only 181 yards, 2 touchdowns against the aforementioned Mahomes, 36 of 50, 446 yards and 3 touchdowns. How is Tannehill winning this game? He's not. Tannehill's doing enough to not cock it up, and Derrick Henry is winning the game.
Tannehill's being smart.
Yeah.
Tannehill had a better rushing average than Derrick Henry.
Yes, he did. Tannehill was averaging 12.3 yards a rush to Henry's 8.2.
And if he carries on that pace, he'll be MVP.
And Pat Mahomes, by the way, didn't rush once.
No.
0 yards. Tyreek Hill, 157 yards and a touchdown. Kelsey, 75 yards and a touchdown. Hardman had a long touchdown as well, didn't he? 63 yards and a touchdown.
Which was amazing.
On his one reception.
Yeah.
He just looked like he just, oh, I've got the ball.
By then.
He just turned on the afterburners and everybody disappeared.
And yet, the Chiefs didn't win because they cannot stop the run and because teams like the Titans that usually fall apart because their quarterback is not capable of driving them down the field, what they need is to make a change at the top, which the Dolphins have done, and Ryan Tannehill is proving himself to be a good enough quarterback. He isn't the long-term saviour for the Titans, but
he's a useful stopgap.
He was a first round quarterback. You're going to bring in the first round.
He was number 10 overall about 7 or 8 years ago.
2012 draft.
Yeah, 2012 draft. I think he was 10 overall.
He was the third quarterback after RG3 and Luck.
And he's been in a bad situation with the Dolphins because they've not been good for a long time. Look, he's not an elite quarterback, but he's a far higher functioning quarterback than Mariota. He's probably played himself into the job for at least another year. I think they'll stick with him because if you can build around what's there already and not have to spend all your draft capital on one of these new quarterbacks, Tannehill's not old. He's not expensive.
Nope.
And he's probably very keen to win. I'm really sold on it. You know, how many game-winning drives did Mariota have in 4 and a bit years? Game-winning fourth quarter drives.
1-6.
I think it was 3. The only reason I think it was 3 is because Tannehill's had 3 in 4 games.
Yeah.
And this is the point. Like, he's not making the mistakes, and he's allowing the team to do what they do best. And then he can put them in a position to win the game. Equally, it helps when your special teams somehow block a massive field goal.
There's not somehow with this.
It was incredibly well timed.
So they worked out that the Kansas offense has the same cadence on every offensive play in the fourth quarter.
Oh, really?
And they used that cadence on this field goal so they knew when to run.
It was an incredible block. How the ball didn't take the guy's hand off, I don't know, but absolutely immense block. Something we did see in this game that we've never seen in the league before. Intentional grounding penalty called on Dustin Colquitt, the holder, who was trying to throw a fake punt pass and threw it out of bounds.
Was it supposed to be a fake?
Well, no, I don't believe so. They balls it up.
Because he wasn't looking, was he?
I think the professional term is a clusterfuck.
Yeah.
The other notable thing for the Chiefs was the deliberate benching of LeSean McCoy. Did not play despite being fully fit. Now, Andy Reid came out after the game and said it's a load management issue. And they I used to have some of them when I was a teenager. But it sounds to me like they're saying he doesn't have the legs to go the full season.
So you're telling me LeSean McCoy couldn't take a full load?
I couldn't possibly say that. What I'm saying is Damian Williams, 19 carries, 77 yards. And then the next most rushing was Sammy Watkins with 12 yards. I think they missed McCoy in this game. And no, he hasn't been an amazing player, but he's actually turned up in big moments for this team. And I think it was a mistake to leave him on the bench. Sure. Or not even on the bench, to leave him out of the squad.
Do you know what this team could have done with? Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, we will be getting to that. And Matt Moore. Because he'd have had more rushing yards as well. Look, although the concern here is the fact that the Chiefs are now 6-4. This is not a team that should be 6-4. Not with the players they've got available. Not when they only lost one of two games when Mahomes wasn't playing.
Yeah.
That means Mahomes has lost three games this season.
He hasn't. It's the defence. The defence is losing them games.
Mahomes has been playing when they've lost three games this season.
Yeah.
Take that on board and just let it percolate, because that is not where we thought this team was going.
No.
Andy Reid is an excellent offensive coach. He has his deficiencies with clock management and end of game management. That's never going to change because he's 70 or whatever. This team can't afford to miss the bye, I don't think, in the postseason. Of all the teams, I can't see. And yet, they're 4-1 away from home in their 6-4 season. And Arrowhead seems to be too much. And I don't get it. I absolutely think they're another team that needs a bye. But then when you look at that stat, you think, well, maybe they're better off without one. It just strikes me as something is not quite right. And I was listening to another podcast, actually, where they said the team is built to score points but not to win games. It does feel a bit that way.
Yeah.
They've concentrated not enough on the defence. You knew you'd got a great quarterback. You picked up Harmon. You know your offence is amazing. But like Paul said, you're losing because your defence cannot stop people.
Yeah.
It just seems like, you lost D Ford, you've done that. Yeah, but we gave Frank Clark loads of money, so it should be all right.
Yeah, that was always going to work well. I was pleased to see Adam Humphries get touched.
Yeah.
He had not been playing very well, mainly because Mariota didn't throw the ball to him. And turned up, I think it was his first score for the Titans this week. So always good to see.
Yeah.
Glad he chose the Titans over the Patriots for that.
I'm sure he's delighted. So, the Raiders on Thursday night beat the Chargers 24-26. And are now, like I said, just that one game behind in the AFC West. Phillip Rivers picked three times again, including the game-ending interception. The Chargers have lost every defeat they've had this season by one possession. And it's just becoming repetitive. We conceded last week or the week before, all right, Phillip Rivers is done. Like, I really, really wanted to see Phillip Rivers carry on. I've loved watching him, but he's sliding more and more into Eli territory.
Oh, he's both feet are in Eli territory.
Both
now.
Feet are in. What it would require is another 4 years of playing at this level for it to be Eli territory. But he's certainly in that direction. And it's odd that the two of them, so intrinsically tied together forever, are going out in the same way.
Phillip Rivers had never had multiple interceptions and been sacked multiple times in the opening quarter until this week.
Yeah.
They started off poor.
It was pony. Did he throw interceptions on the first two drives?
Yeah.
He's just run out of testosterone.
It's all those kids. Look, on the bright side, Melvin Gordon, 108 rushing yards.
Yeah.
It's good. You need to start, you know. That is second 100-yard game of the season. I believe so. Raiders rookies with touchdowns this season. Have you seen that each of their offensive rookies has got touchdowns this year? That's impressive. I think it's the first team to have five offensive rookies score touchdowns in a season. That's a great testament to this team. And John Gruden deserves credit.
Yeah.
Also, John Gruden, everybody laughed at the 10-year contract and what he was doing last season. He was a very well-respected coach, wasn't he? He was a Super Bowl-winning coach.
Yeah, but he was. That's the point.
He had 10 years out of the game.
But he was running camps. He was doing TV work. He wasn't out of the game completely, was he?
No, but, the game moves on, you know.
Yeah, whether or not you would suggest it was easy to think he'd kept his hand in. Yeah. I didn't. I thought it was a mammoth commitment to a guy that was unproven.
Did you see Eric Harris for the Raiders?
Yep.
115 yards interceptions in return yards, which is most against Rivers in his career, and
really?
The highest.
Impressive, but it's the most against Rivers in his career,
and it's the most this season by a player.
The Chargers just a bit of turning into the Falcons for me.
Yeah,
on paper, this team. I'll ask the question that I've asked before: how good was Derwin James?
Well, yeah,
without
exactly.
Derwin James, they just seem decrepit.
Do you know, over the last four games, the Raiders have allowed 13 passing touchdowns against them. So Eric Harris is excellent, but the rest of this, it's bad.
He's just had a good game.
It's bad. If they make the playoffs, that is really going to hamper them. They're not going very far, but it's evidence that Gruden is building
the
team.
Both if they get to the playoffs this year, then for them, it's just justification that, you know, this process that they are in is, it's turned around quicker than we thought.
But you wait till 2027 when this team wins their second Super Bowl.
I was looking for the stat to go with something John was mentioning a minute ago. I knew I'd read it. So the Raiders defense had two sacks and two interceptions in the first quarter of a game for the first time since which year?
1976.
Oh, no, more recent than that.
2012.
2006.
Oh,
but
Jesus.
Still, that shows you how inept their defense has been for a while. And the last time a Raiders player had two interception returns for touchdowns in a season, because this is Eric Harris did it twice.
Yeah. 2014.
2007.
Okay.
Yeah, so they've been anemic on defense for a fairly long time, and they're slowly coming around to it.
Can I also mention, well, we're talking about Gruden.
Yep.
How many times has he challenged this year? I'll have a guess.
12.
He's seven.
Seven challenges. How many has he won? Zero challenges.
None.
I bet he's not the only one. He might be the worst.
He's the only one.
The only one. Wow. They don't overturn anything at the moment. Some of them are fairly poor. But
to be fair, I like Gruden's approach to this because he's challenging pass interference.
Yeah.
No one else seems to be doing it with... All right, he's losing it, but starting a debate, isn't he?
Yeah, no, definitely. Mass
debate.
Come on.
Yes, are you thumbing one in there? Again.
Lamar Jackson and 50-50 is a song that he sang a few years ago.
Yeah, well, guess who's next? So the Ravens turned up to play a game of football on Sunday and found themselves facing a bunch of wet sponges in Bengals uniforms. This was a catastrophic blowout for the Cincinnati Bengals. 49-13 in the first game of the post-Andy Dalton era. So Ryan Finley starting under center, and they got, I mean, what a kick in.
It was annihilation.
It was just ridiculous. How good is Lamar Jackson? Let's just get it out of the way. You will hear nothing but how great he has been. The run where he juked the defender and broke the guy's ankles and left him for dust was incredible. The spin move, everything.
It was... Well, I know we've had a ban on saying this, but...
Don't do it.
It reminded me of an Atlanta Falcons quarterback from a few years ago.
Matt Schaub.
Do you know what? Do you know what? He is on course to break Vic's rushing record by over 200 yards.
Yes.
He's going to shatter Vic's rushing record.
I think also...
We have never seen a guy like this, ever.
He's also put a perfect passer rating for the second game this season.
Yeah.
It's the first time somebody's done that since 2007.
And it was Ben Roethlisberger.
Was it?
Yes, it was, because we look at the same stats sheet every week.
I suspect we do. And that's they are the only two people to do it twice in a season.
It's impressive. I mean, he's not throwing as much as Ben would have, which I guess...
No, but he's throwing more than any one of us thought he would.
Gotcha.
And that's the thing about it. He's actually a proper quarterback.
But we have also got to remember that they've played the Dolphins and destroyed them. They've played the Bengals and destroyed them. He got perfect passer ratings against the Dolphins and the Bengals.
You can only play what's in front of you, I guess.
But it was in front of
there are other teams that are playing the Dolphins and are playing the Bengals and aren't getting...
Well, everyone's getting wins against the Bengals.
I mean, they're getting wins, but...
Turns out not everyone's beating the Dolphins.
But you know, the quarterback performances against those teams aren't as impressive or always as impressive as this.
If you have a kicker, you can beat the Dolphins.
Look, most teams should be beating them anyway. Mark Andrews, two touchdowns for the tight end again. He's another tight end who's been brilliant this year. I think I'd like to say that the it's not just the Lamar Jackson improvement that this Ravens team's success is hinging on. It's also the fact that the defence has been much better than we thought. And the acquisition of Marcus Peters, it's been incredible. That's two touchdowns returned for two interceptions returned for touchdowns already this year. So he's probably paid off his deal for the year already. And all right, again, Dolphins, Bengals, and some of the other dross they've been playing, but they're stopping teams from marching up and down the field, and that's all you have to do when your quarterback is this good.
Yeah,
yeah. For me, it's different with Peters because they don't have a pass rush in those places. They've still got decent receivers in those places.
Yeah, I mean, Marcus Peters basically couldn't be doing any more than he is. That's my point. Like, this guy is going above and beyond.
Well, to be fair, how many interceptions has he had?
I don't know on the season. He's had two return for touchdowns. I don't know how many he's had in total.
He could have had three return for touchdowns.
If it wasn't for someone else in Pittsburgh, he'd probably be the trader season.
Are you suggesting that Minka Fitzpatrick might be a better defensive player than Marcus Peters?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying currently so far, Minka's performing
brilliantly.
But
I also think
it shouldn't be something to beat Peters with that think Fitzpatrick is better. Peters has been brilliant. He had a quiet time in LA and I think they could do with him performing like this right now.
Well, they must be regretting shipping him out, I think. I mean, Ramsey's a great player too, but imagine what Ramsey and Peters would have done together. That would be the thing for me for them to be looking at. Did you see over the first 16 games of Lamar Jackson's career that his stats are basically better than any quarterback you want to name? So he's won more games than Mahomes. He's completed more passes than Breeze. His yards per attempt are better than I think it was Roethlisberger. Everything, accuracy is better than Brady's first 16 games. Like there's no fault. You cannot. He's put up more rushing yards than Vic. Like John Harbaugh's decision last season to stick with Jackson when in the playoffs the crowd were calling for Flacco. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
The crowd were calling for Flacco, and they said, look, this is the future. We're not winning the Super Bowl this year. No team wants to face this Ravens squad.
No, God, no.
No team wants to face them. Look, whether or not they're winning the Super Bowl this year, I don't know, but if you can get them at a decent price, they are worth the money right now. Because if you had to put your money on one team today...
Probably the fucking Patriots.
No. Probably the fucking Ravens.
I think they're just getting better. They're doing what the Patriots always do.
Yeah.
They, you know, week two, they lost to the Browns. I don't know.
True.
They are just getting better and better. And that's... You don't win the championship in week eight. You know, it's how you go throughout the season.
Yeah, and they are building momentum,
and
they're
building momentum. Mark Ingram, you know, you see those two, Jackson and Ingram, you just be like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do now.
Well, they played the Heisman package as well in this game, didn't they?
Yeah.
So three Heisman, it was the first time ever three Heisman Trophy winners lined up in a backfield. Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram, and RG3. And I believe he completed the handoff to RG3, who went and got 9 yards and a first down.
And they were able to pull Jackson out at the end and put in RG3.
Yeah, he threw an awful interception. But
that's what RG3 does.
Yeah, it seems to be. But, you know, we were saying at halftime, because John and I were watching this game, we were saying at halftime, you take Jackson off the field and you will win this game by 20 points.
Yeah.
You could have played John Harbaugh at quarterback, and you were still winning this game because the Bengals are not a team that are getting better. This is an awful team. They're quite right to play Ryan Finley. Absolutely, I don't like the way it was handled, not giving Dalton the opportunity to go somewhere else. Finley, one touchdown, one interception, 167 yards, or something like this.
But Tyler Eifert, it's great to see him back after so many years of injury. AJ Green possibly back this week.
Yeah, I keep hearing it. That's what I thought was happening this week.
He's available in our league, by the way. I had to release him.
Did you? And you're just letting everyone know?
Yes.
I'm not entirely sure.
You do know first.
I'm not entirely sure that he's going to be any good because Ryan Finley's going to be thrown to him behind a porous offensive line and with play calling that has looked lacklustre at best. Joe Mixon's mini revival did continue, but mainly because they handed him the ball like 35 times. That is what you should be doing. Absolutely. They need... I'm slightly torn with the Mixon thing, right? You know your season's going nowhere. You're the only team that can still go 0-16. Do you shut down your star running back to make sure he's not injured before next year when you might have a chance at success? Or do you just keep using him to try and keep your team viable this year? Because what are you competing for now?
One.
One win.
You want that one. You don't want to beat...
No, you don't want to beat... You don't want to beat the Browns or the Lions. No, you don't.
You compete... Until... You're looking at... You're thinking, okay, we've got the Dolphins still to play. You know... You don't want to be another of the 0-16 teams. That is what... Until that happens, Mixon has to play every game. I'd give it... Just go Wildcat.
Yeah, look, at least he's on the uptick and hopefully they'll get more production out of him. Veteran linebacker Preston Brown was cut by the Bengals today. Only significant because they paid him $16.5 million in March.
Okay, but this is included
nearly $5 million.
I'm not sure cutting the highest paid linebacker on the roster.
On your team is a great 54 place
tackles,
to be.
A forced fumble and a fumble recovery.
There is no hope. This Bengals team are picking number one. They don't... They look desperately bad. And I'm fed up with wasting breath on them. Yeah, there's only one team I hate talking about more, and we're going to be getting to them shortly as well.
I just thought this was a semi move. Just, all right, you want to get the cap space because clearly they're on a rebuild. They're going to be rebuilding next year. But 54 tackles, a fumble recovery, and a forced fumble. There will be some trade value in that, even if he's old as sin.
Yeah, you'd have thought so. It feels to me like Zach Taylor trying to make a statement to the rest of his team to get them to step up. And I don't think, A, the team has the talent to step up, and B, that he has the wherewithal to drag this team further on. It's like the team is just so badly run. And that's not just Zach Taylor. It's from the top down. The whole team is bad. Let's move on. The Browns won. Or rather, the Bills lost because Stephen Hauschka missed two kicks, including one late in the game, which would have taken us to overtime.
But this is bizarro world on kicking this season.
There's been some poor kicking.
So we didn't talk enough in the Atlanta game. The Korean missile came in and was accurate.
Two for two.
Two for two for Kuang debut. Yeah.
Flawless. Well done. Yeah, you're right.
He was 4-4 at one point.
Was he?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
4-4.
Well, and he can do a mean flip.
He can indeed do a mean flip. Look, I don't know whether the Browns should be pleased or just relieved. I can't.
I'd say relieved. They snuck that win. Browns were. They were just anemic again on offense, weren't they?
For the most part. Look, we were talking about Kareem Hunt earlier. Four rushes for 30 yards at 7.5.
That's 70-odd yards on 74 yards on scrimmage.
Yeah, yeah. So seven receptions for 44 yards. That's where they're going to get value out of Kareem Hunt. I'm sure we were all in agreement that the Chiefs had to cut him. Nobody was massively impressed when the Browns picked him up. Moving that aside, this is what he brings your team. And they need this. They need this injection. I think he will be really good for the team. Nick Chubb, 20 carries, 116 yards, standard procedure for him. He is excellent. Baker, okay, let's give him his due in the game. It's the first time all season he's thrown two touchdowns in a game and no picks.
Yep, no picks.
But 238 yards and a quarterback rating of 68.3 is not going to get it done.
They finally got a red zone touchdown at the end. But once again...
Right, they ran eight plays... From fourth and one or two, right? From the 1 yard line or the 2 yard line, right? I think it was eight plays. How many years since a team ran eight plays from 1 or 2 yards out and did not score the touchdown? How many years since the last time that happened? Eight plays.
30.
Very nearly. 26 years. Freddie Kitchens, you are a fucking abortion of a coach. I cannot talk about this fat waste of space anymore. Get him out of there. You've got so much talent on this team. How do you not score there? They ran left and lost a yard. They ran right and lost a yard. They ran left and picked up the yard they first lost. They ran right and lost another yard. It's like, what are you doing, man? It's just terrible. Look, the Bills' defense is decent, but it's not brilliant. It hasn't been amazing this season. It's been good enough to keep them in games, but... Anyway, the Browns won. Josh Allen, 22 of 41, 266 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. We've said before, he's trying to rein it in a little bit, and I feel occasionally he's going to come up against teams that are good against the pass, and it's going to hamper him slightly. The quarterback rating, because I've mentioned Mayfield, Allen's was only 43.1. They need more out of him now in these sorts of games against a contemporary. They've both been in the league the same amount of time. I felt Allen probably let them down a little bit, but this does prove that the Browns' passing defence is very, very good. John Brown, 5 receptions for 77 yards. It's not often you see him corral 5 targets and not go over 100 yards because he's normally 25 yards down the field when he starts catching the ball. Also, nothing out of Frank Gore.
No.
The future Hall of Famer is coming to the end, 12 yards on 5 runs. Devin Singletree, we said the torch got handed over last week, but it was only 42 yards. A lot of it's down to how good the Browns' defence is.
The Browns' defence is good.
But the reason I'm giving you all this information is because I want to know just how much of an improvement the Bills need to make to win one playoff game. Because I think they're going to sneak in as a wild card.
They need to improve a lot or get very lucky.
Because the Titans... catching them up for the wild card. Bills are 6-3. The Titans are 5-5. And right now, I would say the Bills are sliding slightly backwards and the Titans are ascending. And if the two of them met, who do you think wins that game? Because I'll tell you now, I think the Titans win that game.
Titans now would win that game. Yeah.
So I'm just looking at the Bills. 2 weeks ago, we said they're nailed on for a wild card seed just because of how weak the AFC is. Now, they play the Dolphins and the Broncos in the next two games, which could just shoot them back up.
Yeah.
And they should win both of those games.
You might beat the Dolphins.
They've got some pretty nasty games after that.
Well, they must have New England. Other than that, who have they got?
So you've got the Dolphins, the Broncos. Then you've got the Cowboys, Ravens, Steelers, Patriots.
Yeah, see, that's 4 defeats for me. And this team's falling back to the pack.
Yeah.
And it's disappointing. It's very disappointing for me to see because I thought they would just... I even went as far the other week as saying that Sean McDermott had actually impressed me and you'd got to respect what he was doing. Maybe they're falling backwards slightly.
But if they fall backwards, they're falling back to the mean.
But yes, they are. Paul's going to say Hauschka mean is the reason they didn't win this game.
Yes.
And they should have won this game.
Yes.
So... they can recover, but they are also playing a lot of teams in the rest of their schedule that are better than the Browns because the Browns are not a good team. They are so poorly coached.
But the Browns should be a good team.
But they're not.
They're not.
Number one overall pick at quarterback. 2 first round running backs.
Yeah.
Two first round wide receivers.
Yep.
First round defensive end.
Yeah.
First round cornerback. This team should be strolling this division.
It's true, and they're not. Now, the reason that they're not strolling this division, who currently is in one of the wildcard spots if the season ended right now? Way ahead of the Browns. It's the Steelers.
Yeah.
The Steelers have pulled their season back. It is incredible. They are 5-4, despite the fact that they've got no players in their squad.
No, but... They were throwing it away and Minka Fitzpatrick's caught it and run it back.
He's been superb.
Outstanding. He's been absolutely outstanding. And, you know, he alone is not going to be a reason to drag them into the playoffs. Mason Rudolph, I cannot make my mind up. Mechanically, functionally, he looks terrible. He runs backwards like Bambi on ice. He can heave the ball. But it's almost like their best bet is to give the ball back to the opposition and then wait for them to cock it up and the defence to score, a bit like the Patriots were doing at the start of the season. I don't know whether Mason Rudolph is any good or not, but Mike Tomlin deserves so much credit for just getting something out of this team. Because, yeah. I mean, they've got no Connor.
Yeah, no. Jalen Samuel was quiet as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, exactly.
Although both these teams last year were top 10 offenses, let's say.
Yeah.
Rams were very much there. The defenses today this game weren't they? Didn't they defenses that scored them 23-6 to the offense?
Yeah, and that's it. It's crazy things like that that are causing the Steelers to actually still be in playoff contention.
It's almost not that they're good, that everyone else around them is just capitulating.
Well, we never thought that the Browns would be this bad.
No.
look, the Ravens are probably nailed on now for the divisional win. No one's surpassing them in this division. But the Steelers have given themselves a real shout of a wild card, which is fantastic. And if we think, and this is very much just me putting it to the group, I'm not saying this is what I would do, but if the Panthers are prepared to move on from Cam, do the Steelers have to move on if Mason Rudolph gets them to the playoffs? Do they have to move on from Roethlisberger?
I think you put Ben back just because none of us are still sure on Rudolph. And I think the problem is still the offense for the Steelers because they have no one due to bad luck. But yeah, if Ben was there, they would be better.
Well, yeah, you would think so. Certainly, but Rudolph's numbers have not been impressive as Atlas. No,
they've been the NFC champion last season.
Well, yeah, but for the Steelers, they have the knowledge that Rudolph can come in because Ben is old, he is injury prone.
He's a giant thumb.
He's a giant thumb.
Mason Rudolph, 1,330 yards, 11 touchdowns, and 4 picks on the season so far. It's not terrible. Like it's not good, but it's enough at the moment. And
to me, the story of this game though is just how bad.
Yeah. Okay. So Steelers aside, the Rams not winning this game just killed their season.
Yeah.
The Rams are not making the playoffs.
The Rams are not seeing football in general.
They are third in their division. They are not improving. In fact, they haven't made any strides forward since the Super Bowl last year. None. No strides forward.
No, absolutely nothing went forward with them at the Super Bowl, apart from the fact they were present at the game.
Yeah. Look, this has got to be concerned. For as well as Tomlin is coaching, McVay is not doing a very good job. And it has to be said. It's been poor. Jared Goff, 22 of 41, 243 yards. All of that is very average. No touchdowns, 2 picks again. The O-line has to be fairly pristine for Jared Goff to be any good.
Yeah, and they're not.
Bit like the Patriots with Brady. Some quarterbacks need that O-line. They don't have it. Todd Gurley, 73 yards. That's not going to cut it.
Nope.
You can't do that if Goff's not playing well.
Because the O-line is... what's his name? Whitworth.
Yeah.
He's been an All-Pro.
Yeah.
All throughout his career, effectively.
Yes, he has, yeah.
He looks... He could fit in quite well at MetLife, the level of O-line play there.
Well, this is the last year of his contract. He's already intimated that he won't be coming back, and that will be a good thing, but they've still got to replace him. We saw Blake Bortles in this game, was brought in to run a specific package, and then nothing happened because it completely confused everybody and they took him off the field again.
But he has not thrown any incompletions in a Rams shirt.
It's a good stat. Now, last week, Cooper Kupp, 220 yards, scored like it was going out of fashion. This week, zero yards. Ruined my fantasy team. Ruined my life. It is the biggest, I believe it's the biggest disparity from one week to the next for a wide receiver in like 35 years of fantasy football being played. And that's back when it was played on sheets of paper that you sent in via the post. it's a ridiculous drop off.
I was very pleased, I'll be honest with you, because
go fuck yourself. look, I was devastated, and there's no one would have left Cooper Kupp out of my team.
No.
Because of the Steelers' defense is good, but it's Cooper Kupp. He's been amazing for a year and a half.
So, for me, that was against the Bengals, though. So there should be stats without the Bengals in mind this season.
Yeah, that is fair. It's possible.
You should have your season stats, then stats for BA, for Bengals adjusted.
There's a slight concern for the Rams, a large concern, that Brandon Cooks still hasn't recovered from his concussion, because they can't afford to be without any of their pieces right now. Robert Woods led the way with 95 yards, but like we say, this team is doing nothing. Oh, Bortles, one carry for 1 yard. That's what I was looking for. That's what he did on his one nice. Appearance.
What was his long?
it was one, with an average of one.
Good.
Look,
that's pleasing.
It's over for the Rams this season. It's done. And this should also be worrying for anyone who's picked people out of the McVay coaching tree, like Zach Taylor at the Bengals. Because it is not working. People are seeing what you're doing and changing it. Jared Goff also had three fumbles in this game.
Yeah.
He's one of the biggest disappointments.
Massive disappointment. He's not recovered from, like, week 13 last week when some...
Yeah.
Not last week, last year. when for some reason his season just went off a cliff.
Want to guess what his QBR was this week?
26?
Lower.
18.
13.4. Guy sucks. He was sacked four times. Two of those were by TJ Watt, who has been amazing this season.
Yep.
Now has the most quarterback hits of anybody this season.
Brilliant.
There is one person out of the McVay coaching tree who's doing okay.
Go on.
Matt LaFleur
is doing okay. More than okay. But there were a lot of people interviewed for a lot of jobs because they once sat next to and got a whiff of the Sean McVay cologne. And maybe it doesn't work in the long run. That's all. Into the final group of games to the roundup then. And it's a bit of a mixed bag that we've got left. Let's do this John's favourite way. Start at the bottom, work our way up. two pretty terrible games occurred on Sunday. One saw the Dolphins top the Colts 16-12 to wrap up their second win of the year. Top tanking. And the other saw the Lions sand Matt Stafford for the first time in 136 starts. Somehow contrived to lose to the absolutely still god-awful Bears. Let's start briefly with Fitzmagic and Co. look, Devontae Parker's playing brilliantly.
Yeah, he's
Fitzmagic's great. Doing enough. And I think the players have basically decided we're not throwing our careers away just so you can pick number one. Brian Flores is a good coach. And last week, after the game that they won, he was interviewed and said, "I hope my team don't become complacent after our one win." And they immediately demonstrated that they haven't become complacent by winning again. This is amazing. This team, don't forget, after seven games, this was an all-time worst season start. And now they've won twice.
I bought the shirt of hurt for you.
Yeah, which I've now seen today because you're wearing it and given up in disgust on the shirt of hurt.
It's not so hurtful anymore. They've won two games.
It's a Rosen Dolphins shirt that Paul's parading around in. Because most people outside this room don't know how crap that is.
And I am parading about it.
If only you'd put some trousers on, that'd be great.
I never record a podcast with you. No,
really, really wish you would. Did you know Brian Hoyer, who started in place of Brissett again, has now lost each of his last 10 starts, which encompasses a period of time in New England.
Where he didn't play.
The Colts. The Niners, the Bears, he's lost 10 out of 10 starts.
Now, I will have to give him some sympathy here, right?
Go on then.
Disagree with you a little bit on it.
Well, no, he has.
No, I don't disagree with the stat.
Yeah, go on.
I have to present some sort of dissenting view here because...
You want to defend Brian Hoyer? Is this because Harry's not here to do it?
No, if anything, I would go all in on Brian Hoyer if Gary was here. That was a bad 49ers team that he was playing in.
Yes.
That was a not great Texans team that he was playing in.
Yep.
That was an awful Bears team he was playing in.
Absolutely.
So this is the first time he's had a team that's decent and he shit the bed. Like, mega shit the bed.
Yeah,
like,
let's bear in mind.
Sharted the bed.
No Ty Hilton. I wasn't entirely enamoured with the play calling because Marlon Mack wasn't the focus of the game. They let Brian Hoyer throw it 40 times. Like, Frank Reich's a brilliant coach. I think he got this one wrong. I think he thought he could get more out of Brian Hoyer than he could. Do you know...
do you think there's going to be a third season for Reich? Is there going to be a third Reich?
Yes, it absolutely will be a third. That's such a telegraph joke. There will be a third Reich, and we will make plenty of reference to it next season.
And it will be a glorious one.
I will give you $1,000 to strut up and down the sideline pointing at the sky with one arm fully extended. now, do you know the last time Brian Hoyer managed to win consecutive games?
College?
No.
High school.
2015.
Okay.
And he didn't just win consecutive games. He won three in a row, then lost one, and then won three in a row. So it can be done, but it took me a long time to find that out. I wasn't convinced he'd ever done it. Look, to lose Jacoby Brissett is one thing. To lose him and Ty Hilton at the same time will sink this team. Because whilst the defence is excellent, the attack requires the balance of key players. Brissett has been much better than anyone thought he was going to be. And Ty Hilton gets into 29 other teams in the league.
Yeah.
Right?
You don't lead the league in receiving yards at any point in your career as a bad player.
No, exactly. So, well, look, Hoyer threw three interceptions. Two of them were fairly horrible throws. I think he was asked to do too much.
When you bring him Hoyer, you're going to get a bad interception at some point.
You are. But the
especially
thing is,
if they had to throw 40 times.
The thing is, they were still in with a shout of winning this game, but the Dolphins did enough. So I don't.
There's one reason why they lost.
Go on.
So, Adam Vinatieri, I'd like to present the following pieces of statistical information to you, and I'm not stalling at all while I find
it. It's a 70% conversion rate on PATs this season, which is what you're looking for. He missed a PAT, missed it.
And his field goal rate is 73.7.
Yeah. Missing the PAT was key because it meant that Hoyer had to go to down the field for a touchdown to win the game. He couldn't just square it up with a field goal. That led to the interception, which led to the defeat. Vinatieri has to go.
But these aren't just like, oh, he's slightly wide to the left.
No,
these
he mishits him. Look, he's a guaranteed Hall of Famer. He'll be only the second kicker enshrined in Canton. The guy's been brilliant. We have not seen a kicker this good for this long in our time of watching the NFL. It is over. It's like Eli. It's the same again. It's 1 year too far for a brilliant player. And I don't think the Colts want to move on. And I will say this, I don't know who they bring in, but it's horrible because I've got Vinatieri as my fantasy kicker. Every time he lines up, you think, I'm not sure. It used to be absolutely nailed on. What was his nickname? He was Automatic Adam.
Yeah.
Because it was just nailed on. He just walked up. He was Justin Tucker before Justin Tucker. And now he might as well be Justin Forsett trying to kick him. Do you remember him?
I do.
He disappeared very quickly out of the league. Look,
as soon as I picked him in a fantasy team.
He was cut the day we did a draft, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Brilliant. The other game that I mentioned in the opener of this section, Bears and Lions. Stafford didn't play due to back injuries. Got stress fractures in his back.
From carrying the team on there for the last 6 years.
On a better team, he's an MVP candidate. I don't know how quickly he's going to be back. I don't want to spend long on this game,
nope.
Mainly because I refuse to give the Bears credit for beating Jeff Driscoll. Right? Fuck off. It's not this. Mitch Trubisky is still the most disappointing quarterback in the league this year.
I don't think he is.
Really?
But only because I think Goff has shat the bed that much.
I think
you
like
know
chicken
you
tonight. You feel like what?
We knew
they're coming in the air tonight.
We knew Mitch isn't great, and he's proven to be bad. You know, he's just bad. It's just, but yeah, let's.
I don't have anything redeeming to say. Jeff Driscoll again. See, this is the thing. The Lions kept this close, and really. A Bears team operating with a half-decent quarterback, not facing Matt Stafford, with the Lions' defense being so poor.
Yeah.
The Bears should have been three touchdowns out of sight. And they weren't. At any point did it look like they could do that.
It felt like they snuck it at the end, didn't it?
Trubisky had only thrown two touchdowns in the last four games. He got three in this game. You can't fault that. But you can't give them credit against this Lions' defense. It's terrible.
So I don't want to go too much into it, and obviously I'll give you the point I was going on earlier. The most disappointing quarterback of the season is Mariota for me, because he knew he was playing for his career.
But we knew he wasn't going to manage to stay in. That's the deal. I just... Look, Trubisky, 16-23, 173 yards. He got the three touchdowns against the Lions' defence. Jeff Driscoll, 27 of 46, 269 yards. One touchdown, one pick. Look, there isn't really a lot to be said as a difference between these two players. If you put Jeff Driscoll in the Bears team, they still win this game. If you swap these quarterbacks over, yeah, the Bears still win. That tells you everything you need to know.
Jeff Driscoll five times.
Yeah, he was. Jeff Driscoll was only sacked twice. Look, again, it was something John and I saw a lot of. Driscoll did a lot of running around, a lot of aimless running around. But ultimately, this should be a team that the Bears are just putting away for fun without Matt Stafford playing. And we were never convinced that they were going to win.
Move on.
But before we do, the one thing I do want to bring out, Tariq Cohen. What's happened to Tariq Cohen? Three rushes for 14 yards.
He came up short.
And four receptions for 23 yards. Why are they not using him more?
I don't know.
He is the most. He was the human joystick. He was the most explosive player on the team. And I just think he's massively underused. They got rid of Mike Davis, the third running back. And I thought that was going to see a massive uptick for Tariq Cohen in production. Nothing. And it's just, I think, talk about disappointments in a specific position. Tariq Cohen's got to be one of the most disappointing running backs this season. I bet there aren't many leagues where he wasn't drafted.
I would agree that.
It's been very poor. Right, speaking of very poor, the Jets and the Giants played out what was actually a fairly competitive game at MetLife in the battle of who gets fired first between Gase and Shermer. And it was the former who came out on top as the Jets win 34-27. And Jamal Adams stole the ball and every Giants fan's soul when he robbed Daniel Jones. And it was a robbery. It was like watching a teenager thieve a purse off a pensioner.
Yeah.
And Daniel Jones just didn't know. He just looked confused. He did the Eli face. It was just like, oh, where did that come from?
That just sums up the Giants' season in one play.
Was stolen away.
Just, oh look, our O-line's done nothing. He's just, you know, there's that scene in The Simpsons where the generals are being the Harlem Globetrotters. He's spinning the ball on his finger. I was shouting at Red Zone. He's just run away with the ball.
It was incredible. It was absolutely great.
What's going on?
We were watching Red Zone, me and Griff down the pub, and you just watched him like, what?
Just couldn't believe it.
Like, it wasn't even as if Adams had to run. Just sauntered into the end zone for a 40-yard.
You know, it just seemed incredibly polite. I'm sorry, Daniel. Do you mind if I have that? Here you go. Please help yourself.
I'm just going to give it to you anyway.
Daniel Jones does get credit for one or two things this season. He has been a big uptick on Eli, I think. And do you know, he's only the third rookie since 1950 to throw a touchdown at each of his first eight starts. The third since 1950. Look, he's still very promising. He gives the ball away. It's not the interceptions, it's the fumbles. And he doesn't seem to be able to secure the ball. His ball security is poor, is what I'm getting
at. To be fair, that Jamal Adams one, I wouldn't... Obviously, I know it counts technically, but for me, he didn't fumble.
Jamal Adams literally didn't fumble the ball. It was just stolen away. It's absolutely crazy.
That was a basketball play.
Yeah, pretty much. This is a papering over the cracks exercise for Adam Gase, as far as I'm concerned. Darnold played better, no turnovers, but still not really getting enough production out of what is a far more talented team than the Giants are fielding.
I don't know. I quite like our receivers this year.
Slayton's played really well.
Gordon Tate's come in.
I think Slayton was the first Giants receiver to have 100 yards against the Jets in like 6 or 7 years. Mm,
yeah.
Like he's played really well. I think Odell Beckham was the last one to do it. So Slayton's done well. I have to say, in terms of Pat Shermer, there's been nothing said about his job.
No one cares.
And yet, no one cares. And yet, this Giants team are really bad. And I think he's another one gone at the end of the season. Because IFC, it's not even like you can look at him and say, I can see where he's taking this team.
No, but to be fair, this is more Gettleman. And before that, who was the GM before?
I've forgotten his name.
Bertie Bassett.
Yeah.
Might as well have been.
Might have been Fred Bassett. But it's one of these things where it always seems to be a bit, well, at least we've got Beckham. Oh, yeah, I traded him. Oh, well, at least we've got... Oh, no, he's injured.
At least we've got Eli. Oh, no, he's terrible.
It's okay, we've got Gordon Tate.
Do you want to give us the Saquon Barkley stat of the week? I know you don't, but you're going to.
I had more length in my flaccid penis than Saquon Barkley got in carries.
In yardage on his carries. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So essentially, I could flop my dick out and that would be further than Saquon Barkley.
I tell you right now, I would be challenging the spot of the ball. I'm slightly concerned because, it is cold.
It's freezing there, isn't it?
3 inches. So yeah, 3 inches.
Okay, so if three
inches a carry as an average.
I'm really bruised still. But essentially, I could just flop it out. And, yep, there we go. Joe Mixon.
First down. No wonder they call him 4 inches.
Intentional grounding.
Yeah. Oh, things have all gone.
Remember, we laugh so much about Joe Mixon and his 7 inches.
7 inches of carry, yeah.
What? I'd be pretty impressed with 7 inches on that. Yeah. That'd be negligible. So essentially, I could piss better yardage.
Well, yeah. Look, Barkley clearly was struggling with some sort of injury. He's come out today and said he's not being shut down for the season, and that he feels it's a daft thing to say. But like I said with Mixon earlier, when your team's going nowhere, why are you running your star running back into the ground? What is it achieving? Nothing.
Hey,
Gallman looked better than Barkley, because Barkley was injured. But why? Why risk it? You need him next season when you've built more pieces and you're competitive. So I would... very tempted to shut him down. I don't see what there is to gain in playing him. Well, 3 inches of carry.
It's just... the thing that I liked was just you looked at some of the things behind it. Like, Saquon Barkley's dad is a Jets fan.
Yeah, I know. And he was in the Giants end in a Jets shirt.
Jamal Adams' father was drafted by the Giants.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, should we move on to the
big game? The big, big game.
Finish on the big one.
Yep, okay.
Yeah, more important than the Battle of New York.
Yes. instead of the Battle of New York, we had Battle for the NFC West.
I'm terribly sorry. I just have to go back to the Battle of New York. The most rushing yards was Le'Veon Bell with 34 yards.
That is a battle.
That's awful.
You want to talk about his number of inches? I wouldn't.
That's a large amount of flaccid penis. Is that the only yardage? Is that our new rushing stat, measuring it in flaccid cock?
Well, this has taken a turn this evening that no one saw coming. Don't make that joke. Right, so Monday Night Football. The undefeated 49ers taking on the Seahawks. It was prime time and it was close. It was 27-24 as overtime expired in favour of the Seahawks. Jason Myers hitting a 42-yard game-winning field goal to end the last undefeated streak in the league and close to within half a game in the division. What a division for a start.
Yeah.
There are lots of things to take away from this game. It is the one game of the weekend I haven't really seen. I just saw the result and I read a few things about it. But having been to work today, I've not had time to sit and view it all. I gather that earlier in overtime, because this went all the way into overtime, I gather Chase McLaughlin, who was standing in for Robbie Gould as kicker, missed. Yeah. And didn't just miss. He kicked the ball down the tunnel.
Yeah.
He kicked the ball down the tunnel instead of potentially winning the game in overtime, which then gave the ball back to Wilson and co. Yeah. to drive down the field and set up the 42-yard game-winning field goal. There's no shame in losing to this Seahawks team. We've been questioning whether they're good enough. Believe me, they're good enough. Russell Wilson is fantastic. The offense is doing enough. The defense is hot and cold, but as long as they are playing to their potential, they're equally as good.
So what a difference a good kicker makes.
Yep.
So Jason Myers was the Jets, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, and he was an all-pro kicker, and they let him go.
And that's the thing I like about the Seahawks. They don't piss about.
No, it's an extremely well-run franchise. Pete Carroll is playing very tight with his units. You know, they're all coached. Not
if
in
he's
the
playing that tight of his units, he'll get more than 3 inches, won't he?
it's closer to the Belichick method is what I was getting at, as opposed to some of these coaches who I feel perhaps don't have their teams buttoned up as tightly as they should be. Yeah, look, I think the fact that the Seahawks have got Clowney, who's having an excellent season, I don't really know what else they could have asked out of him in the trade. So I think I was slightly surprised that the Niners didn't win, but at the same time, very pleased that this has finally ended the undefeated streak, because it felt like it had to end at some point, and we were just thinking they were getting lucky. I felt they were getting lucky.
Yeah,
and that's I'm not bitter because the Patriots lost their undefeated streak. I just felt like the Niners were no more deserving than New England, and at some point they were going to come unstuck. And if they're going to lose the undefeated streak, lose it to this team. It's like there's no shame in the Patriots losing to the Ravens the other week, and there's absolutely no shame in the Niners losing to the Seahawks.
Well, at least the Ravens aren't in your division.
Well, yeah, see, that is the only downside for the Niners. Garoppolo lost 3 fumbles, I believe.
Two.
Fumbled it 3 times, lost it twice. That's a slight concern. QBR in the end of 18.9. Ew, that's bad. Look, I'm still not sold on Garoppolo, but it's one game.
It's one game,
and it's against a really good Seahawks team. I mean, Wilson's QBR was only 41.1. But the bigger concern is Emmanuel Sanders leaving the game for the Niners, injured. So Deebo Samuel was their top receiver in the end with 112 yards. I don't know what the prognosis is for Samuels. Is it a rib injury, I believe? So usually if it's broken ribs, it's 2 or 3 weeks before they can come back because they can't take the impact of being tackled.
Yeah.
So you could see him back in a flak jacket. Chris Carson, solid job for the Seahawks. Again, he's over 50 yards every week. So it's 89 yards in this game. And like I say, of all the games of the week, this is the one that I was hoping would be as close as it was, and to go all the way to overtime and be settled on a field goal as time expired, I don't think you can ask for more.
No, and both teams can look at this thinking, well, you know, the Seahawks come out thinking, yeah, we won, we've brought it back. 49ers can come out of it thinking, well, we should have won. If we had Robbie Gould, we would have won.
Yeah, if they'd had Robbie Gould, they would have won. The Seahawks are 5-0 away from home this season.
They're just a good team. They.
It helps that they've got Wilson.
It's not that they do enough. They never blow anyone away. They're not going to be like Rams of last year, like Ravens are doing this year. They just do enough. Like, it's, you know, like watching Prost in an F1 race.
Yeah.
He knows, they know what they need to do. They just do enough.
Shall I demonstrate to you with some small number of wanky stats how close these teams were? First downs, Seahawks 19, 49ers 21. Total plays, Seahawks 73, 49ers 78. Total drives, 16 and 15. Yards per play, slightly larger gap, but Seahawks 4.6, 49ers 3.9. The only massive disparity was in rushing yards, though. 147 rushing yards for the Seahawks and just 87 for the Niners. Really, that's the sort of play. The turnovers, 4 and 3.
Yep.
Defensive and special teams touchdowns, 2 and 2. Oh, that's where I was going with Clowney. He's had 2 defensive touchdowns this season now. He hadn't had 2 in a season all the time he was at the Texans. So, and possession was like 35 minutes each.
Yeah.
Like, bang on. It's absolutely crazy that they could be this close and have it separated like that. And it's back to where we started with the terrible kicking situations. Chase McLaughlin's a bit unlucky. He's a kicker that's going to bounce around. He filled in for a few weeks at the Chargers. It's bad timing for the Niners to lose Robbie Gould. But if that's what it comes down to, how great is this divisional race going to be as the season progresses? This is why the Rams are out of this now. The Rams are not sneaking in the NFC in third.
No, not at all.
I just saw this as a Stan Kroenke sat in a box somewhere, getting redder by the minute watching this game.
he could well have done. I don't spend a lot of time with Sam Kroenke. Does he sit in a box?
I don't know, but who cares about him?
Stan Kroenke has a red box.
No.
Tyler Lockett, injured.
Yeah, so I gather they rushed him off to hospital fearing compartment syndrome, which is where part of your leg or arm just swells up because you've got a massive bruising and the body decides it can't cope with the amount of blood that's going, then just shuts that part down, and it often results in amputation. But apparently that's not what's happened, and he should be fairly fit fairly quickly. But it did show, because he took the final reception or the final kick recovery in normal time and then didn't play in overtime. And it did show, it limits, he's been so good for the Seahawks this year, it limited what they could do. So they will need him back. He's not somebody they can afford to miss. Then, DK Metcalf's been good, but he can't, he's not, if he doesn't have someone drawing coverage away from him, he's not
a WR1 yet.
He's a rookie wide receiver.
Right. We need to have a look at the standings to see who'd be playing who in the playoffs if the season finished today. Mainly because I want to. So quickly, we will...
Well, so first seed in the AFC is the Pats. In the NFC, it's the 49ers.
Okay.
Second seed is the Ravens. And in the NFC...
Just do me the AFC first. That'll be easy to cover. So Patriots, Ravens.
You then have... Texans, Chiefs, Bills, Steelers.
Texans, Chiefs, Bills and Steelers. Okay, pick me the two teams that are in the AFC Championship game. This is your final chance to change your picks for who makes the AFC Championship game. If you say to me right now who's it going to be, it can only be Patriots and Ravens. It can only be Patriots and Ravens.
It can, but I also look at that Houston team. And
I like this Houston team as well.
I do.
Over who? Because I think the Ravens right now are getting to the championship game. So you're taking the...
If it is like it is now, it would be Houston Ravens, and then I'd imagine it'd be Chiefs.
Yeah, so you think the Texans are beating the Ravens?
No.
So it's got to be the Ravens Patriots, right?
Ravens Pats, yeah.
I'm just looking...
If any team was going to beat this Ravens,
and at that point the Pats beat the Ravens.
On the outside of the playoffs picture looking in, if there's one team I want to see make the playoffs, I never thought I'd say this. The Raiders in their last season in Oakland. They're one game back from the playoffs. And I really want them to make it.
Yeah.
Actively cheering for them now. I want them to make it. Are you listening, Perry? I want them to make it. And I think they can. I think it can definitely be done. Like I said earlier, the Bills are slipping back. I'm not sure the Colts are going to survive if Brissett is out for too long, so they're going to drop out of the picture. The Steelers, it's going to come unstuck at some point, I feel.
Once again, it's a little bit like...
If the Raiders play the Steelers tomorrow, the Raiders are winning that game. Because Derek Carr massively outplays Mason Rudolph.
But also, I'm kind of... There's part of me that sees the Steelers as an underdog, and I kind of...
The Steelers' defence... I can just see them nicking games. Especially...
Clearly offense wins championships, okay?
But it... you go on quarterbacks, then Rudolph is the weakest quarterback in the playoffs.
Just for the record, the Dolphins are not even bottom of their own division. the Jets are bottom of the AFC.
Yeah.
Okay. Rudolph usually comes good at Christmas.
In the NFC.
So,
if I could have a pound for every time I've made you full body sigh,
that would be a full body sigh of fart.
That as well. John's been doing that.
So, grief.
So the Niners and the Packers.
And then you have Saints, Cowboys, Seahawks, Vikings.
Okay. Pick you two. I'm saying Packers and... Ooh, that's difficult. Definitely Packers for me at the moment are going. And I will say the Niners, just because I think if the Niners and Saints meet up, the Niners currently win that game.
I'm going to go Packers. Seahawks.
Don't commit. Seahawks. Yeah.
I'm going to say... The Seahawks and the Vikings.
But yeah, if the Vikings are never getting to the championship game.
Good defence.
Got Kirk Cousins.
They got to the championship game with Case Keenum.
Yeah, and they should have kept Case Keenum. On the outside looking in, Eagles at 5-4. Look, if that team gets into the playoffs, there's been a massive problem in the NFC because they are not very good.
Well, it's been a massive problem in Dallas. That's the that's the issue.
Same with the Panthers, though. If they make a wild card slot in the NFC South, because they're currently 5-4, two games back from the Saints, somebody in one of the other divisions, like the Vikings, has really fallen off the place.
Yeah.
And equally with the Rams, because at best, they're going to finish third in their division. I do not see them catching the Niners and the Seahawks. They would have to have a fantastic record in third place.
The Eagles could do this. Their strength of schedule is immense.
Really? I've not seen it. So who have they got left to play?
Giants.
Twice. The Giants twice.
Yeah.
The Skins once and the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Also, they're playing the Seahawks and the Patriots.
Yeah, so they should go 4-2 over their last six games, which is probably... This is the thing with them and the Cowboys, is they're probably both going to finish up on the same, and it's going to come down to who's won who out of
Week 16, they play each other.
That's the decider, isn't it?
In Dallas.
In Jerry World.
The thing is, though, you say that, but if the Eagles end up in the playoffs, I wouldn't bet against the Eagles.
I would today. I would bet against this Eagles team winning anything right now.
On their day, they can blow you away.
Their day in the Super Bowl.
But they've had games this year where they've just turned up and blown teams away. And then they have games where they could barely move the ball and the defense looks they are the worst team to predict.
Yeah, well, look, they're 13th in points per game, 20th in yards per game, 21st in passing yards per game, and 11th in rushing yards per game, which actually amazes me because I thought their rushing was terrible.
Jordan Howard has been okay.
Sanders has turned up.
Yeah, they're getting along a little bit better now. I'm not at all sold on what the Eagles
can
do.
I'm not saying they're getting it to the final four, but I can see them getting ahead of the Cowboys.
Yeah, and that's a massive indictment on Jason Garrett. That's what we were saying earlier. Garrett goes anyway, I think.
I think Kellen Moore's coming in at the end of the season anyway.
Yeah, it seems that way.
So they're grooming him, aren't they?
Well... That concludes week 10. That's our roundup out of the way. The teams on the bye next week, the Seahawks, Packers, Titans and Giants. What are we going to do without the Titans to talk about? Thank you for listening, everybody. We are out of here. Bye-bye.